WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The questions over President Trump's relationship with the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein continue as Epstein accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell is transferred to a more comfortable prison after meeting with the Justice Department. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
In a statement issued Friday, relatives of Virginia Giuffre, Epstein's most vocal and visible abuse victim, blasted the Trump administration for transferring Maxwell, calling it a horror and outrage and preferential treatment. Earlier this week, Giuffre's family said they feared the president would pardon Maxwell.
The word that comes to mind is it would be an abomination.
The president has not ruled out clemency for Maxwell.
In Montana, a manhunt is underway for a man suspected of killing four people and is considered to be armed and dangerous. Montana Television Network reporter John Amy.
Many locals are shocked that Anaconda is now the victim of a mass shooting.
Well, is what I think about it is the whole country's going goofy.
Yeah.
The whole country. Too many people moved in from other areas. It wasn't this bad 10 years ago.
Now to Gaza, where Ambassador Mike Huckabee and Special Envoy Steve Witkoff visited a controversial aid site run by the U.S. and Israel-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. Palestinians seeking aid have been shot by Israeli forces at some sites. CBS's Deborah Pata is there and says they are desperate and starving.
International experts warned this week that a worst-case scenario of famine is now playing out in Gaza, where aid has either been blocked or severely restricted since March.
In Russia's silence over President Trump's decision to move two nuclear submarines, the BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
The Russian authorities have yet to react to President Trump's announcement. Morning news bulletins on Russian TV made no mention of it. But online, Russian news outlets were dismissive of the move. One military commentator told Moskovsky Komsomolets that President Trump was throwing a temper tantrum.
The U.S. set the world record in the 4x100 mixed swimming relay at the World Aquatics Championships. The BBC's David Harper.
The Olympic champion Katie Ledecky has taken gold in the 800-meter freestyle final at the World Aquatics Championships. The race in Singapore had been billed as a showdown between the American and the young Canadian Summer McIntosh, who was chasing her fourth title at the event. McIntosh finished third behind the Australian Lani Pallister.
American Gretchen Walsh won the 50-meter butterfly that makes 7 gold medals for the team so far, but Olympic swimming legend Michael Phelps took some shots at its performance. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some hazy sunshine, highs around 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, mid-50s. Smoky sunshine for Sunday with highs in the low 80s. 58 Sunday night, 82 your high on Monday, highs to the mid-80s on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 68.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We're going to have some fun this hour. Not only are we going to get into some entertainment news a little bit later, but before that, we're going to have Beth hang out with us a little longer. We're going to get into the top Disney soundtracks of all time. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But speaking of Beth, it's a Monday, so you all know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Cooking in the kitchen can be a lot of fun with delicious results, but it can also create a slew of dishes.
Boy, don't I know it.
Let's keep our home life at home, okay, sweetie?
Quit fighting.
I do want to give a shout out to the man you just heard, my dishwasher, and to my machine, too. Anyway, if you're anything like me, you may be looking for meals that dirty as few dishes as possible. Thanks to foodnetwork.com, I found an article that might be able to help us out. It's called 93 One-Pot Meals You'll Keep Coming Back To.
Let me guess. There are a lot of varieties of chili.
That is one of the options in there. You know, and that can be a great one-pot wonder. The article used a variety of things that you can make, such as, things that are just one pot, others that have a few things like pasta, and there were different options for mac and cheese, so you can kind of dress that up a little bit. But there were soups and stews and other things as well. And I found a couple of favorites, and the first one is actually a meat dish.
Yeah.
You can make chicken. You can do, well, you can make chili with chicken too, but you can make a creamy skillet chicken. So on top of the stove instead of baked. And it only takes 3 steps and just a few ingredients. So what you're going to do is whisk together 1/4 cup all-purpose flour with a tablespoon of salt and a few grinds of pepper in a pie plate or a shallow dish. You're going to coat both sides of the 6 boneless, skinless chicken breasts in that flour. Shake off the excess, and then you just set it aside. Next, you're going to heat 3 tablespoons of oil in a large, heavy-bottomed skillet over medium-high heat. Add the chicken to the skillet and cook undisturbed until deeply golden, and that's going to take about 3 minutes. Turn the chicken and cook again, undisturbed, until the other side is deeply golden brown, another 3 minutes. Remove the chicken to a plate, and then add another tablespoon of oil to the skillet. Add about 8 ounces, a container of sliced mushrooms, and cook those. And you're going to start to sweat those out. You're going to stir them occasionally, and they're going to brown, and they're going to release their liquid. And that'll take about 5 minutes. And then add to that 2 cloves of garlic that you've minced, and cook, stirring all of that until the garlic is fragrant. That's not going to take long. That's only going to take about 30 seconds. So once you've done all that, you add 4 ounces of cream cheese that you've cut into chunks, and you stir that in. So it gives you a nice mushroom cream sauce, and you do that until it's all melted. Then pour in 1 cup half and half. Again, you're trying to go for that sauce now. Use a wooden spoon to scrape any of the brown bits from the bottom of the skillet. That helps to add some flavor. Yep. Season it with some salt and pepper. Add the chicken back to the skillet, cook, and cover and cook. Turning about halfway through until an instant read thermometer inserted into the thickest part of the chicken reaches 165 degrees Fahrenheit, which will take about 15 to 20 minutes. We want to make sure you don't get salmonella, so sure that you fully cook the chicken breasts. Transfer the chicken to a serving plate filled with warm egg noodles. Add 1 10-ounce package of baby spinach back into the skillet, about 8 cups worth, and then cover and cook until they're wilted. That'll take about 5 minutes. Stir to combine and season again with a little bit of salt and pepper, and then pour that creamy spinach sauce over the chicken and noodles and enjoy.
That sounds really good.
You know, I'm infamously picky and a picky eater and all that, so I don't mean to ruin my brand here or anything. But does this happen to you guys every once in a while? And maybe it just is more and more as I get older. When I see the name of something or what have you, I'm like, I don't know if I'd like that. I hear the breakdown. I hear the recipe. I hear how it's prepared. I'm like, oh, I would try that. There's plenty in there I would like.
I was thinking the same thing. It's interesting that going through the ingredient list and figuring out how to make something actually makes it more appetizing, is really interesting. I never even thought about that.
Well, just like you can't judge a book by its cover, you can't judge a meal by its name.
Right.
Turns out we do want to know how the sausage is made.
Exactly.
Revelations. Oh, my gosh.
Mind blown. Well, there was another one in here because, of course, casseroles can be one pot wonder.
Hot dishes.
Yeah. Casseroles. If you're using the right dish, it is still a casserole. Am I wrong?
I'm just going to take this grenade and drop it over there.
So there was one that uses a common college food, ramen noodles.
All right.
Chicken ramen noodle casserole, but it's also called chicken ramen noodle dump dinner.
So appetizing.
Yeah, it really brings you to the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, oh. doesn't it? But it's low maintenance and packed with flavor, and the creamy casserole transforms dorm-friendly ramen noodles into a satisfying casserole that can be fed to a crowd.
Okay.
So you want to preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You could put 6 3-ounce packages of the chicken-flavored instant ramen noodles. Keep one of the 3 packets. Discard the other flavor packets. You only need the one.
Okay.
And you layer those in a single layer covering the bottom of a 13-by-9-inch baking dish. Whisk together 1 8-ounce container of scallion cream cheese. So if you go to specialty stores or if you go into your grocery store, they have flavored cream cheese in there.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Grab the scallion cream cheese, 4 cups of whole milk, and the one reserved flavored packet from the ramen, and you whisk all that together in a medium bowl. Pour that mixture over the ramen and then scatter 2 cups of shredded rotisserie chicken. You want to make sure that you take the skin and the bones out of there. You don't want to have those. But you shred that chicken and put that over the sauce and the noodles, and then scatter 1 10.8-ounce bag of frozen broccoli florets.
Oh.
On top of that, you're going to sprinkle all of that with 8 ounces of shredded cheddar cheese, making sure to distribute it evenly across the whole casserole. So it's a cheesy, broccoli, creamy.
There you go.
You're going to bake all of that until the noodles are cooked through and the cream sauce is bubbly and the cheese melts. That's going to take about 30 to 35 minutes.
Wow.
And you're done.
Man. All I can say is it's a good thing Melissa's not here today, because I think she would go into lactose shock just by listening to these recipes here. Wow.
That was another one, though, that I'm like, there's some stuff.
I might actually eat my broccoli then, too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
If there's cheese, that's how my mom first got me to eat broccoli, was putting cheese sauce over it. And you can remember, you can substitute things like that. You can use coconut milk instead of the whole milk. You can use goat cheese instead of the cheddar cheese. So there are options out there to make it more friendly to whatever type of diet restrictions that you might have.
Right.
And if you haven't had broccoli with a crunch to it or something, that's a difference.
Yeah.
That's different.
It really is. So there's another one pot wonder, and it's in the mac and cheese family. Mm-hmm. And this one is so super simple. I wish I would have known this recipe earlier. I tend to do my mom's, which takes 2 pots, but this is great. This one pot wonder has humble beginnings. It's just milk and macaroni. Mm-hmm. I never thought to boil my macaroni in the milk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's
revelations.
Yeah. So you add the pasta. As the pasta cooks, the starch is then released. And that's what helps thicken the milk to make the perfect base for a sauce.
Oh, my gosh.
So it becomes the roux that you need to mix the fat into. It's amazing. So the cheeses and the seasonings are stirred in at the very end, and everything comes together magically. So here's how you do it. You're going to pour 4 cups of whole milk and 3/4 pound of elbow macaroni. That's about 3 cups in a medium saucepan. Bring the milk to a boil over medium heat and stir it frequently to keep the macaroni from clumping. Then cook, and then you let it cook, stirring frequently until that macaroni is tender and the milk is thickened to the consistency of heavy cream. So the starches are going to thicken the milk as you cook them as well.
Okay.
That's going to take about 4 to 5 minutes. Remove from the saucepan from the heat. Once it's removed from the heat, add 8 ounces of shredded mild cheddar cheese. That's about 3 cups. 3 ounces of shredded part skim mozzarella. That's about 1 cup. And 2 ounces of cream cheese cut into small pieces. You'll also want to add 2 tablespoons unsalted butter that has been cut into small pieces. 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard.
All right.
A large pinch of cayenne pepper. And if you're not into heat, you can easily not do that. Mm-hmm. A large pinch of freshly grated nutmeg. Mm. And 1.5 teaspoons of salt. And you stir all of that until smooth, thick, and creamy. And serve it hot. The dish will thicken as it cools. But you can thin it out a little bit with a little hot water if you need to.
Wow.
Now, nice. This came out of the Food Network kitchens, and the cook does have a tip for you. Make sure to buy block cheese and shred it yourself, because the pre-shredded cheese that comes in bags is often tossed with starchy cellulose, and that's going to make the mac and cheese clumpy. It's going to give it a clumpy texture. So if you want that nice, smooth texture, go for it. Add the little bit of extra time and that one extra little dish that you're going to have with the grater, but grade that cheese yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm digging
Nothing as satisfying as shredding cheese.
Yeah.
At least I think so. I think that's great. Boy, excuse me. This is, we do a lot of recipes on this show, mm-hmm. but these ones I think are really cool because even if someone's just listening, and I know you'll put these in the newsletter, yes. So people can read them, mm-hmm. But things that are simple like this, even if you're listening, it's like, oh yeah, I could just do that right now. And it's easy to remember even if you just heard it over the air.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you want to rehear all of these, you can always go to our website and listen to the podcast because we're there for for life, right?
Yes.
So these recipes are just 3 of 93 that were in this article. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even include things like broccoli salad. When I make my broccoli salad at home, I do it in one bowl.
You do. That is correct.
And it's easy. It tastes good. You mix the sauce and as you...
Right.
You do that first in the larger bowl, and then you add the broccoli and everything else and coat it that way. That way you're not dirtying as many dishes, which my dishwasher to my left here really appreciates.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I do.
Yes. I love when you bring these topics, Beth, to us that not only could apply to any family out there, big or small, or college students who just say, I have only one clean bowl. That's all I have. I'll be okay.
Yeah, that's right.
One of these, I'm all right.
I already got some ramen here. I'm good.
I already cleaned a spoon, a single spoon, and one bowl. I have that clean. I'm good.
And fun fact, when I was in college, I bought a recipe book for college students so that had very simple recipes in there. And one of the things that I've continued to make that always gets a huge review when I take it with me to the church is a peach cobbler because it's 3 ingredients. You pour 2 or 3 cans of sliced peaches into a 9x13. You pour over that a boxed yellow cake mix, and then you slice up 1 stick of butter and you dab that all over the top, and then you just put it in the oven to bake.
Good.
Yeah. You're done.
Good.
Fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah. That's
so again, another one taught wonder. I should have thrown my own in there.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these easy to make dishes are just a few of the meals that will become a highlight to your menu. And speaking of highlights, we'd love to highlight your business as a sponsor of this segment. Not only will you be mentioned during our show, your business will also be highlighted in our weekly newsletter, where you can find this article as well. There are also options to broadcast an interview or have us broadcast live from your business for this segment.
Mm-hmm. For more information about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with our sales team to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. All right.
Another great episode. Damn. Well done, Beth.
Hungry once again.
Very hungry. Yes. as you guys brought up the website, I did want to remind everybody that not only are all of our shows, archived there and our podcasts are there, there are links for that right on the WFHR website.
Right.
A little over to the right, just go down a little ways and you'll see them over there. If you have trouble seeing any of that, please let us know. But they are there for everybody.
And those are direct links. You don't have to try to navigate the Civic Media website. They just go right to the show.
Get right to it.
Yep.
We're going to get right to a break, and we want you to join us again next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open.
Tell me something good.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Door works for the win.
Smokey the Bear. Smokey.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Drums, please.
Oh, yeah.
time to get into the segment. That doesn't sound as good, does it?
I like it, though.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, especially if you can hear us, Seth.
So we had a little issue last night. Our computer that we use to stream on the app and on the website and everything kind of croaked last night. It broke down. It crashed. So Chuck, our fantastic manager here, replaced the computer. And then we had to have the Madison people do a little thing here and there. So it is streaming right now, but the streams are a little switched for IRI and FHR.
We got some wires crossed somewhere.
A little wires crossed.
Don't mix the streams.
Yes. Don't cross the streams.
So
if you're looking for FHR, go to the IRI part of the Civic Media app, and you will hear it there. So we're still working on that, getting it fixed. But we are streaming. It's just not where it's supposed to be at the moment.
It's like Freaky Friday. Okay, but it's a Wednesday because we like things weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird,
we gotta talk about this story with this lady in the Ring camera. So a mysterious Ring camera footage sparked some alien speculation.
Seriously,
A California woman's doorbell camera captured a video of a mysterious figure that has some residents speculating about alien activity. Jessica Ortiz shared footage on social media showing that the Ring camera picked up outside her Compton home after dark. The video appears to show. I'm going to show the video.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see it yet, Seth?
What's that?
Did you see it yet?
Did I see the video? No, yeah. I have not watched the video.
Okay, so.
Okay, well, you're going to have to watch it like multiple times because
So there's
it's
this,
quick.
There's this video right here.
Okay. Well,
you got to look in the bottom right corner.
Right over here.
Yeah.
Pulling up.
Oh, no.
See?
Yeah, right there. No, sir, there's that.
It's like a little cone-headed three-year-old.
Right. And then there's this footage here, too, of this one. I don't know.
And I don't know why that one has it, like, it almost looks like there's a cloud over that part of the...
Yeah.
Is that their way of drawing attention to the right part of the video? Because then they remove it.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see right there.
Okay, yeah.
Right there.
And you only really see it from the waist up.
Yes.
Because it's, yeah, but the head is like, I don't know, what would you call that? Hammer-headed?
It's a macrocephalic head,
Oddly, very...
Please explain for us what that means, big brain.
It's a big head. It's got a big head. That's what it is. It's got a big head.
Oh, so that's what I should call you, macrocephalic from now on?
There you go. It sounds cool.
It's everybody's nickname. That'll roll right off the tongue. Let's take a call real quick. Good morning. You're on the morning show.
Morning, James.
Hey, bud, how you doing?
Last night, I had a bad night. I jumped up with a buffalo, and I woke up exhausted.
Oh, no.
That's rough. Oh,
that's good. That was good.
We hope you're having just as good of a morning, bud. Thanks so much for calling and making us laugh. You have a good one. Take care.
Oh, that's great.
Best listeners in radio. Appreciate you. With this lady, one thing I wanted to note that I thought was noteworthy about the interview. She was kind of panicking, and anyone, please explain to me what my Ring camera is caught here.
She's like, I don't want to call anybody.
And to that point, she doesn't want to call the police. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that she did not call law enforcement for something like this.
Right.
Now, to most of us, I think we kind of assume, hey, that you would. Why would you do that? That's. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, man, I think they're too quickly to bug law enforcement for things with they're not have, you know, yep. It's not really under their jurisdiction.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest.
Sorry, ma'am.
There ain't much you can do if you're a law enforcement. Like, our officers are very well prepared.
We don't have jurisdiction
they
for
have
that.
Diplomatic immunity or something, yeah. But
Will Smith didn't even know what to do at Independence Day. Like, how are these guys supposed to? In all seriousness, I don't want to take this too seriously.
No, you don't. You shouldn't. Because the alien, if it's the shape, it looks like Roger from American Dad is what it looks like.
Yeah, it does.
That's it is, seriously. So, yeah.
I thought it looked strangely like the aliens from Alien.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like it looked a little too much like that.
Where's Sigourney Weaver when you need her?
Oh, that alien would be in trouble. Yeah. So the thing that got me on this one is this is from UPI, the story. It's not from, like, you know, BigfootIsReal.com kind of thing. You know?
No,
so,
it's from a legit source.
It kind of bugs me, though, that that's what they put in the headline. It's like, people speculated it's aliens. That's so clickbaity. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. UPI? Come on.
Well, now, what else were they supposed to put, Seth?
Well, it was a strange, mysterious thing on the Ring camera.
Mysterious intruder on Ring camera.
Or not even intrude. They didn't intrude anything. They just walked past.
Mysterious walker on Ring camera.
There you go. See? Yeah.
So this is an interesting conversation.
Very short being.
I like that. I like just very
in white,
very blank, and very just. Since the dawn of newspapers, there have been headline reporters, reporters that work strongly.
Headline writers,
That's their job. Got to come up with the crazy headlines and everything. Mm-hmm. New York Post is still doing it, and some other, and we've kind of seen that come back in many ways.
It's true,
but mostly in the clickbait thing, like you're talking about there.
Because you know what they're using.
Right.
Oh, yep. Fair. Fair.
Yeah. when you lean on AI that much,
that's what's going to happen.
There's been multiple stories recently that have been reported on and everything, and they've had to go back and take them out because it turned out that the data that they had wasn't correct. There was a Sports Illustrated article on Luka Doncic that wasn't correct because they Googled the answers and got AI, and it was
check
wrong.
Check your sources. Yeah. AI can be wrong.
A lot.
And substantially wrong.
Yes.
And with that, God, you guys are great. You're teaming me up so well today. Because what I wanted to touch on with this is, if I am an alien, now is the perfect time to vacation on Earth.
Yep.
Even if we get, like, a nonstop footage, 24-hour footage of an alien.
Somebody
nobody's
will be like, oh, that's fake.
AI. Somebody's going to believe
it's
that.
It's just generated.
Like, this is the perfect time to be coming here. Like,
just
like,
walk around and
do you hear that?
Daylight.
Ozone's open.
Yep. I mean, I mean, in Earth, this time of year, perfect time to vacation. So, I don't know.
I mean, away from the wildfire smoke, maybe.
Some of those things,
yeah. So we're probably safe for now.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, that writing for the web is a different animal than any other kind of, like, journalism writing or essay writing that you have to do, because you have to hit all these different things to make it show up in
benchmarks.
To make it show up in searches. So I think that it's not necessarily all the writer's fault or the, you know, headline writer's fault, because we're constrained by some of these things.
It's something that sometimes there's no bad guy, sometimes there's no hero, it's just people, and this is something that we have created as a society.
The internet is the Wild West.
This is one of those things we're gonna have to adapt to. We're gonna have to figure out the right ways to do this and handle this. And as people, it might be my last naive bone in my body, but I believe we are smart enough, and we can work together enough to really figure these things out and to get to a better place with this, where we do have, this is a reputable source. We all know that. It didn't start out that way. It's not as if they came out the box this way. They earned our respect. They earned our trust. Those three broadcasters we've talked about many times, we watched when we were kids, they didn't just come out the gate that way. Cronkite didn't come out the gate that way. They earned it over time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if we have more sources doing that, we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We will be able to get through this. I understand that it can be really scary. It can be a little freaky right now, but I don't know. I feel like, well, we've done this before.
Yeah.
And look at what Orson Welles did with War of the Worlds and radio. We've been scared before by fake stories, and we've been all right. We come out the other end, and we're better for it.
If you ever want a real trip, go read about the story from 1830s of the New York Sun and the Batman on the Moon. It's a great story about just what we're talking about right now. Yep. It's a classic. Batman on the Moon.
Batman
on the Moon.
Man, here I thought this was like a new story.
No, not that Batman.
Yeah, I thought it was about Batman. I thought it was, all right. I guess I'll look into it still. And aliens out there. This is the time to come here. This is it. This is the good time.
You've been invited now.
We will be back with more show coming up. Morning show at WFHR.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. There's a manhunt on in Anaconda, Montana for a military vet. Police say killed four people at a bar. This man says the suspect was odd.
I always claimed the CIA, if they knew he was here, that they would come get him. But we all just thought he was just kind of nuts.
The stock market tumbled yesterday amid President Trump's new tariffs and a weak jobs report. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This confirms what we have been hearing and just the feeling that there has been a labor market slowdown. People are taking longer to find a job. Less people are quitting because they feel, well, I'm not going to be able to go out and find something else. And so it really showed up in the data.
Now to space, where a new crew arrived at the International Space Station after a 15-hour flight.
We are so happy and excited to see your smiling faces. And Gina, Oleg, congratulations on your first space flight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers still on top. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Nationals in game two of their three-game weekend series in Washington, D.C. Last night, the crew won 16-9. It looked like batting practice. Home runs for Andrew Vaughn. William Contreras with a home run and a career-high five hits in a single game. Blake Perkins with two home runs. The Cubs won at home, 1-0 over Baltimore, in a game that was over in just 1 hour and 49 minutes. NFL family night tonight at Lambeau Field. Over 70,000 expected to attend. New linebacker Isaiah Simmons played for the Cardinals and the Giants before joining the Packers. Reminds him of being in college at Clemson.
I ain't never had that many home fans at a game coming from Arizona and New York. It's just pretty cool. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of Clemson. Like our spring game, we would have like 50,000 people there. You know, it's just really giving me a feeling of like kind of being back home at Clemson, which is a really good thing.
As Packers linebacker Isaiah Simmons with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some hazy sunshine, highs around 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, mid-50s. Smoky sunshine for Sunday with highs in the low 80s. 58 Sunday night, 82 your high on Monday. Highs to the mid-80s on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 74.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth and Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Let's go ahead and get into another fun set of topics. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the exit. We are going to get into a big one right now, and we had to bring in extra help for this. A pro, really.
Yes, she knows her stuff.
Seth has one of the better ears for sound that I've ever been around, and I really appreciate that. You can hear that in everything he produces. I know quite a bit about entertainment, TV and movies and everything like that. I feel like I do, at least, and I certainly have taken in enough content to at least say that much.
Right, right.
But not only is Beth a fan and a great singer herself and all that, but also worked at Disneyland for some listeners out there that don't know.
Well, Disney World down in Florida. Yeah, I was down there for 2.5 years.
So we have a pro with us. Yes. Now. So we can truly
she knows
get into
everything
this
about
topic.
Disney. No,
not everything.
What we have here is the greatest Disney movie soundtracks of all time, and I want nicely done. All right.
Oh, get out of here.
We got to get 10 minutes out of this stretch. That was awesome. I do want audience participation on this one. You can call, text us through the Civic Media app. You can call up as well, 424-2600. Get a hold of us. We want your favorite. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, it would even be on anybody else's list.
Yeah.
But your favorite, maybe Disney song or soundtrack or what have you.
Right.
Before we dive into that, though, I did have one kind of interesting note. Disney originally passed on The Little Mermaid, which, of course, has a pretty famous soundtrack.
Oh, right,
itself.
Yeah.
Under the Sea is probably the most famous song, right, yeah, yeah. I would think.
Part of Your World, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a world where that we never get that.
Oh, my gosh.
They almost passed
on it. We don't get to kiss
it.
The girl?
Yeah, none of it. None of some of the questionable stuff there. None of that. I don't know. It was her age, I thought, or something.
Yeah, right.
No, but they almost didn't, and for the most interesting reason, because they were all locked in, and they were worried that it was going to interfere with a big sequel they were preparing, Splash 2.
What?
And 2 is going to be spelled T-O-O. It was going to be Splash 2.
Oh, gosh.
No Tom Hanks, no Daryl Hannah, yep. None of that or anything. I don't even think Eugene Levy was going to be in it.
Well, whatever happened the right way.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the script falls apart, never happens. And so they go, we'll go ahead and we'll do this little project, The Little Mermaid, anyway. It turns into a gigantic hit.
Well, right? Tim Rice just knows his stuff.
Yes.
That's good songs.
It's a wild thing to think of.
Yes.
I don't know. So what is, you don't have to be a Disney adult to have a favorite Disney movie soundtrack, or even children, I think, is another note here. You know, I think that's usually you would think that, you got to have kids.
No. Yeah, right.
Over at ranker.com, people are voting on the greatest of all time, the greatest Disney soundtracks. And they do have these in order. So, of course, we'll start at number 10.
Okay. All right.
One that threw me, Tangled from 2010.
Yes. Mandy Moore did the voice.
Right.
Of Rapunzel.
Yeah, Zachary Levi was, I forget his name.
Flynn.
Flynn, yes.
Flynn Rider,
yep.
I feel weird saying this new because it's 2010, but yeah. I do know that as somebody that doesn't have little kids, that was one of the ones that I heard about more and I heard was liked well by...
It was another story of a princess kind of saving herself. Not needing the man to save her. She just longed to get out, and she just needed the means to do it, and she was able to manipulate him to be able to get out of her situation, which is great.
And it involved a frying pan, which
is fine.
It did.
Yeah. That was her weapon of choice.
At number 9, another modern classic, although, again, that's weird to say because it came out in 2013, which seems like forever ago now, Frozen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Let it go.
I'm a little shocked that's at number 9. I would have thought, especially some of these you hear, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Think
so.
About the years and years and years of Disney soundtracks, going all the way back to Snow White.
Yeah.
She sang in that movie.
That's
so
right.
You've got decades.
Yeah, that's
decades,
a lot of it.
Years.
And because it was so big in the moment, Frozen, I mean, and it was because it was like everywhere. But
yes.
No, I think at the time it's kind of fall in the background a little bit. It's still, I'm sure, a lot of people's favorite. But.
And you can't think of Olaf the Snowman without thinking of the song Summer.
Summer.
Poor Olaf.
At number eight, Mulan from 1998.
Yep. Oh, that's interesting. Yep. That's higher than Frozen. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, wow. I thought that was weird, but I figure I didn't know what I was talking about. No.
Well, and part of that may be that there was a pop hit that came out of that, the Christina Aguilera sang.
Oh, right. Oh, that would make sense. Yeah. So, okay.
Who is this girl I see?
Yeah, I think that's really noteworthy going forward. I think that's right. Something I wouldn't have thought of right away.
There's
but
a lot of crossover songs from Disney movies into pulp culture.
Right. Mm-hmm. And ones that were for every like hit kind of hit, there were ones that were hits just because they were a song in the movie kind of thing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
I think at number seven, that might be the case with Hercules from 1997. Yes. my kids were a little older at that point, so I didn't even see that until being an adult and everything. And then I'm like, oh, I know that reference now. Emperor's New Groove is another one.
Yes.
I didn't see that with my kids. My kids didn't see that one. Mm-hmm. So I was older when I saw it. I'm like, oh, now I get that reference. Yeah, right. I know that song.
And that's one of the things I love about Disney animated films is even though they're geared towards children, they always put some adult references and humor in there so that the parents stay engaged.
They can enjoy
the movie
too.
As well.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to Looney Tunes and everything, when whoever was the one that originated and got the idea of, well, parents watch these too. And I'm going to include some adults humor here and there. Just lightly sprinkled in there and everything. Yep. Whoever originated that
very smart.
It's really incredible. It's really, we're all very, as all of us being parents, we're all very thankful for that. At number six, Moana from 2016.
Yes.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. He did the score for that one. And boy, you know, if he had just, you know, Hamilton and all that, the stuff he's done on Broadway, I know you're a remarkable songwriter, but the stuff he's done since then, including Moana Encanto, I mean, he's gotten hits from that one, you know. We don't know about Bruno. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about Bruno. So
But the question then becomes, is Hamilton considered a Disney film?
Oh.
Because they put it on Disney Plus.
No.
Yeah.
Definitive no.
I would say no, but at the same time, like, I'm not messing with Disney's lawyers.
Wait, we're getting a call in right now? Oh, no.
Whatever you say, Mr. Mouse, whatever you say. limited Disney Mickey.
That's your Mickey voice.
With that one in particular, so I don't care how corny this sounds. I think every single creed culture has beauty, has some interest to it, especially ones I don't know as much about. I can find myself going down a rabbit hole finding, but since I was a little kid, I have always just loved Samoan culture. Been around a little of it in my life, and there's something about it that just really is just beautiful to me, and I think it's really amazing. That movie really, I thought, did a great job of showing a lot of light to a lot of things that I don't think were common knowledge.
No,
and
not at all.
Through song and fun and everything. That's cool.
We even got Dwayne The Rock Johnson singing.
Yeah.
I mean.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And number five from 1999, Tarzan.
Yes.
Yes. Was that Phil Collins?
Phil Collins
did the score for that one.
Yep.
At number four, The Little Mermaid from 1989.
Yes.
Our first redhead princess.
Yes. Yeah. That was Howard Ashman and Tim Rice.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Howard Ashman, sadly, I mean, he did that. He did Beauty and the Beast, and I think his last one was... he did Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and I think his last was Lion King before he passed away of AIDS. But yeah, he was an amazing composer. Yeah.
And a little bit better than Splash 2.
It made probably a bigger audience too.
It definitely made a bigger splash.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Number three, Aladdin from 1992.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, come on.
Obviously it's my number one, and I'm obviously biased, but I do think that out of everything on this list, and we do have some other big contenders coming up. At number three, I think it's perfectly placed. As much as I love it,
of course,
I look at this list and I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
Well, and the fact that Robin Williams ad-libbed the entire intro, the prologue to this going into the song was phenomenal.
Right. I mean, we didn't get to hear him sing.
Yeah.
Very much. You know, Popeye, we got to sing
Popeye
a little bit.
Popeye was it.
But he didn't. But other than that, in Aladdin, that's about all we got to hear. Yeah.
I will say he does get to do a little bit of singing in Death to Smoochie, but it's with other actors. You don't really get to see it.
But it's not like a musical. Right.
Happy Feet, you get. But again, your point is made.
It's
not
enough. We didn't get to hear enough of Robin singing.
And a credit to Disney releasing a lot of the outtakes and a lot of the background stuff that we wouldn't have had if they didn't if they didn't allow it. Right. So I'm very thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick call.
Oh, excellent.
All right. Hey, good afternoon. You're good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. So this has been fun. I love, you know, just thinking about the Disney songs because, you know, I, of course, still have my favorites. I haven't heard you mention, you know, Aristocats.
And oh, I yes.
You know, great
jazz,
one.
You know, yes. If anyone wants to be a cat. And also Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, maybe it's the jazz.
You know? I'm with you, 100%.
I wanna be like you.
The connective tissue of both of those, Phil Harris.
Yes.
Phil Harris, who played Baloo, and then the jazz cat in Aristocats. Phil Harris did the voice, who is one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. I love Phil Harris.
Yeah. And of course, I'm hoping number one will be Mary Poppins. But.
We'll see.
Oh,
but that is a great contender. That was one that was going through my mind earlier. Yeah.
Oh, great references. Next time we do this, we're bringing you in. Great work. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Have a great morning.
Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Best listeners in radio.
Wow, that's great.
Best listeners in radio. Mm-hmm. Those were good. And I have to tell you guys, not on the list, any of those ones she mentioned.
No.
Oh, really?
But they all should be.
What's your list? Everyone make their own list. Yeah. Right. Right.
And she was like running those off. And I'm like, Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I hadn't thought of some of those.
Yep.
At number two, Beauty and the Beast from 1991.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of the more famous soundtracks of all time.
Angela Lansbury. She was always such an underrated. We did not rate Angela Lansbury enough when she was alive because she was so good.
When you said that about not getting to hear Robin sing, I immediately thought of Angela Lansbury because I had the list in front of me.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I thought of the same thing. Like, well, mm-hmm. We never heard him. It's not like she belted out show tunes during Murder, She Wrote.
If you want to hear her sing more,
that'd have been great.
Yeah. Go see a classic Disney film. Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yes.
Yeah,
she does phenomenal in that. And that was on my top three. That mm-hmm. was up there.
Oh, right on. And at number one, of course, The Lion King from 1994.
Yeah, you got to give, again, Tim Rice with the lyrics, but Elton John with the music on that one.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, I don't care. You can see any iteration of that film. If we were going to do a serious Disney poll, what's the greatest film that Disney ever produced? Lion King, I think, would have to top the list for me. Because any way they do it, mm-hmm. it's a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a huge hit on Broadway.
Right.
They did the live action, and that's like the only one that was a huge hit, right? Mm-hmm. That's something special.
Lion King is something special. That's what I give Disney credit for, is they're able to adapt and add to it. So it's not only great as an animated movie, mm-hmm. they add more songs and mm-hmm. make it an even better Broadway.
Right.
I won't say even better when it comes to the Newsies, which would be my number one.
I was going to ask, what is your top? If you want,
that is my number one. Okay. And if you've never seen it, you get to hear Christian Bale sing.
Yeah.
Which is something that I would like to hear.
It is something.
I became obsessed with that movie when it came out. I was a senior in high school. My parents, bless their hearts, tried to find the soundtrack, and it at one point it was worth $100 to go buy the movie or the soundtrack. And
because it wasn't a hit, though, that's what people forget. It wasn't a hit.
Yeah. And it's become a sleeper hit to the point where they have now remade it into a Broadway show. Yep. But they've changed some of the plot. They've changed some of the songs, and I'm one of those. It had me at the movie. If they could have just done an adaptation of exactly what the movie was on the stage, I would have been a happy girl. But I still like the Broadway show.
Easy for me, Robin Hood.
Oh gosh, oh,
that was my favorite growing up, and all the songs. I still love all the songs from that one. So.
It's one of my
the phony King of England. I love that song.
I'm such a sucker for stories involving the mm-hmm. Round Table, King Arthur, and all that. And that one as a kid was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I don't really think of the music with that one. It's so much of the characters.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that I think that whether it was Disney, their animators, whoever, that were really good at, how do I match this character with an animal?
Correct.
And the right ones and everything. Mm-hmm. And they always get it right.
Mm-hmm. They do. They seem to always get it right.
Everyone. That doesn't seem easy to me.
I also want to give a shout out to Peach Dragon. There were some great songs that came out of that movie, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a great list. It's a fun list, but you're all wrong. It's A Nightmare Before Christmas. What are we doing? No.
That's what's great about this. All the discussions that it
exactly.
starts.
Exactly. Yeah. There, most Disney, and I'll say it that way, most Disney movies have at least one song that's going to catch you.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. We love to hear from you, everybody. We'll keep this thing conversation going. You go ahead and let us know what yours were. And thank you very much for calling in. Mm-hmm. We appreciate all your feedback, everyone. And Beth, thank you for sticking around
a
little longer.
It was a lot
longer.
Of fun.
We'll be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break on The Morning Show with WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Feeling those good vibes on a Wednesday. Hope you all are having a great hump day out there. Europeans don't hate us. That's the headline. We're talking catchy headlines, right? That's what we're going to do.
They don't hate us here in this room, you know, because they've not had any contact.
I have no idea how they feel about you out there. I just know
we just know us. Yeah.
We're good. That's hilarious. That's great. The travel site upgraded points pulled over 2,000. Pulled. It sounded like I said pulled over. Like they just.
I pulled you over to have this poll. Answer these questions.
Take two. Pulled over 2,000 people in Europe to find out how they really feel about tourists from the U.S. And turns out, yes, it can be annoying, but not all tourists. Around 1,000 Americans were also polled, and 40% of us think that we're a little more annoying than people from other countries, and 36% of people in Europe agree with that. But not really that high of a number. 36,
no,
not really as high as I think a lot of us would think.
I agree.
About 19% of Europeans said Americans are actually better behaved than tourists from other places.
Mm.
63% said we're usually friendly, 42% said curious, and 32% said fun. All of those are higher ratings than Americans give themselves.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Just Who over knew? go figure. Americans are harder on themselves than most are.
And we're more fun apparently than we thought.
Just over half of us also think Americans come across as arrogant, but only 27% of Europeans said that's actually true. So it's like a really low number there in comparison. 40% of us also think that we seem rude, but just 12% of Europeans think that we actually are rude.
That's because they've met people from France.
Hey-o!
One thing everyone does agree on is Americans are loud. 69% of people in the U.S. think we could dial down the volume a bit, and 70% of Europeans agree.
We're just loud, that's all.
The countries that find us the most annoying are Portugal, Belgium, and Ireland. People in Poland, Spain, and the U.K. think we're pretty cool.
Oh, wait, that's hilarious. So the people in Portugal don't like, but Spain is fine. Yeah.
Ireland has that opinion because there's so many Americans. Like, I have a little Irish. I've got a little Irish.
That's
got
to be annoying.
Yeah. More than any other European country, Ireland gets that.
If the actual number of people that had Irish in it, like, there'd be like, Ireland would have like... million people.
There were a lot of immigrants that fled Ireland during the potato famine
to
come to the U.S. So, yes, there is some Irish blood over here? Yep. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it's been mixed quite a bit.
Diluted.
Quite a bit, yeah. It might depend on which state you're from. People from Texas were rated the most annoying overall. Florida and California were next.
By the way, we agree. Hey, you know, there's lots of people from Texas, a lot of people I like from Texas, but there's this weird thing about Texans. They cannot get over the fact that they're from Texas.
Oh, yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Well, and it's and they're apparently this is like taught. I don't know if it's in the schools, but they even mentioned it. Some of the more self-aware ones, they're like, yeah, that's what you hear all the time when you're growing up. Texas is different. Texas is is exceptional. Texas is this. Texas is that. So I guess it's kind of bred into them.
I think that when you look at the history of Texas and how it used to be its own country, right. and then very how briefly, that changed, yes. and all those things, I think you talk about old school Texans that didn't understood that and knew that, and that all they got out of it was, well, our capital is as tall as the capital in D.C.
Where we could also talk about their power grid, but there's a separate issue.
Sure, but there's a chip on the shoulder of a lot of Texans that has been inherited in many ways. Yeah. I know this as a Chicagoan. Chicagoans, most of them won't admit it, but there's a huge chip on Chicagoans' shoulders in the idea of where we rank as far as
second city thing,
yes, yeah. And all that. And most people thinking that is a slight, where it's actually more of a Phoenix thing and a rebirth kind of thing.
Sure.
I know this because of my oldest joke I've ever told. I used to make my nana laugh all the time. You want to know how you can tell somebody's Italian? Wait a minute. We'll tell you.
We'll let you know.
Texans are very similar.
They are very similar.
People will try out of where we're from. Now, is that where the loud part comes in? Because that part I thought was interesting. I've never thought of us as loud, but I also come from an Italian family where we are.
It's just, par for the course.
Everything.
Yeah.
We sleep loud. We do everything loud.
Well, and also our accent is loud. So when you're listening to crowds of people with speaking their own language, like, and I don't, I think it was that like people speaking British English sound more like a herd of sheep.
Yeah, I was going to say sheep.
And then French sound more like a gaggle of ducks.
Yeah, yeah.
And Americans sound just loud.
They sound like a herd of water buffalo is probably what they sound like. Yeah.
Now,
a flock of crows.
Nice. I've never been out of the country.
Murder of crows.
I was going to say it.
Get it
I was
right.
going to say it. I've never been out of the country, so I don't know too much of how I would handle myself or anything, but I guess I would tone it down a little bit. I don't know. Maybe low. That truck can talk so loud.
Be less loud?
Yeah, I guess.
All I can say is that I love the idea. The one time I was in Europe, I was in England, so technically Europe, I guess. But they knew my name. They pronounced it correctly, and they knew exactly where it was from, which was a revelation to me. It's something that's never happened before.
Come here.
I go to this, the conference I'm going to. I go to pick up my thing and my thing, and they're like, oh, nice Swiss name.
Hello, Doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Allison Keyes. There's a search on in the mountains of western Montana for a military vet suspected of killing four people at a bar. Law enforcement is warning people to stay inside. Bartender Jay Sturger.
The fella that supposedly did the shooting has had mental issues for a long, long time, and something in him today just snapped, and it's just a bad deal that happened.
President Trump is defending his firing of the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after questioning a weaker-than-expected jobs report. CBS's Christian Benavides.
He sat down for an interview with conservative host Rob Finnerty of Newsmax.
There have been a lot of questions, and we fired her because we didn't believe the numbers today.
Top Democrats slammed the move.
What does a bad leader do when they get bad news? Shoot the messenger.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics revealed July's job numbers came in lower than expected and made revisions to May and June, showing hiring was much less than initially reported.
A 15-hour flight brought a new crew to the International Space Station.
They made the trip in a quick 15 hours on a SpaceX rocket.
Ignition and liftoff.
American Zena Cardman and Mike Fink, Japan's Kim Yayu, and Russia's Oleg Platonov will spend 6 months in orbit. It's Cardman's first time on the station.
This has been the absolute journey of a lifetime. We are so incredibly grateful to be here.
The four astronauts they are replacing have been on the station since March. They will return to Earth next week. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Bad weather times. CBS News meteorologist John Elliott.
Millions once again under these air quality alerts in the Western Lakes, where we are going to see air quality index values in the dangerous zone. So much of this related to the wildfire smoke that's on the move through Michigan and Ontario. And then we wrap up the weekend with evidence of that smoke in upstate New York as well.
Trailblazing country singer Jeannie Seely has died. CBS's Dana Jacobson.
Don't touch me. If you don't love me, sweetheart.
She shot to stardom in 1966 with that song, Don't Touch Me, which earned her a Grammy Award for Best Female Country Vocal Performance. Seely was 26 at the time and never stopped performing. She owns the record for appearances at Nashville's Grand Ole Opry with more than 5,000 performances. Since 2018, she'd been hosting a weekly show on Willie Nelson's Sirius XM satellite radio channel.
The Grateful Dead is celebrating its 60th birthday. Dead and Company is at Golden Gate Park all weekend. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/...
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma.